exactly what I'm doing. How's everybody doing? Good, good. I hope I work this out right. I do have a joke for you. Well, you don't have to listen, but there's no place for you to go. Let's welcome our online crowd. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming. Yeah, there was a guy stranded on an island. He'd been stranded for 10 years. He's the only guy on the island. And it just so happens, after 10 years, he sees a ship. And he had a signal fire ready, so he lights the fire. The ship sees the fire. And then they come closer. The guy gets in the boat, the captain and some crew members. They come in, and the guy's like, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You found me." And he said, "Wow, we never come to these waters." He said, "That's great." He said, "Well, get your people. Let's get in the boat, and we'll get back to the ship." The guy said, "There's no people. It's just me." He said, you have three houses here. And he said, "Yeah, see that house?" The captain said, "Yeah." And he said, "I built that." He said, well, good." He said, "I live there." The captain said, "That's awesome." He said, "What's that one next to it?" He goes, "That's my church. I worship there." Captain goes, "That's amazing. That's awesome." He goes, "I built that." He goes, that's great. "What's that third one?" He goes, "That's a church I used to go to." I thought it was cute. Listen, I want to talk to you today just about something that I think is important to all of us, because I know it's important not just to me, but probably to you. Have you prayed and you did all the things? You've done everything you felt like you were supposed to do. You said all the, you're trying to say the right words. You're trying to do everything and you're not seeing anything. Does that happen to anybody besides me? Good, good. This is a look at me, everybody. Come back to me. So this whole message is talking about alignment. In other words, you've been doing what you believe is right, and it may be very right, but there's something that's not lining up, that's stopping. So, you know, faith in Hebrews, it talks about it's the things that we're believing for, we're hoping for, and the evidence we don't see it yet. And we know according to Mark 11, 23 and 24, we believe we pray when, we believe we receive when we pray. So I put this here on purpose. Let me see if I can, got this piece of paper here. And what we're always wanting is we're wanting to see fruit from our prayers, right? And so if I don't do this right, we're on live on candid camera. If this catches on fire, just know that we'll see if the security team is really on the ball. Everybody, get to your cars, quick. The pastor, never mind. Okay, it's not because I know how to spell, because I couldn't do this, that. Whoa. Okay. This concludes our message. Thanks so much for coming. Basically, if you can see before I did this, it just comes out fruit. Now, it's not because I was trying to spell fruit on there. I had kind of already put it on there with lemon juice, and it just browns it up, and then you can see it. My point in that whole illustration is when we're praying, we're believing for that fruit to come, but before it gets there, there's that walking it out. There's that fire. There's the confession that's, and there's things that challenge you to change what you really believe. Are you with me? And as silly as that seems, and it worked great in my demonstration in the office about four times last week, but a little more nervous today. See, I do this all the time, and I get nervous every week. So that's all good, because I don't want to do this, and I want God to always, I need him. How many understand? I just need him. So when we're talking about alignment, I want to tell you a story. And I want, because we get frustrated. Most of us have lived church this way. We think we're doing, I'm pretty sure, but it's not working for me. It might work for you, but it doesn't work for me. And we've all had those kind of thoughts. But what if there's something that we don't see that we are not doing or that we are doing not according to the word, and we're not getting the results. Here's a story. This is a true story. This woman had just been hit over the head and mugged on the street, and she was on the other end of the phone with a minister, and she's sobbing. "How could this happen to me?" she asked. "I confess Psalm 91, protection over myself every day." How many know what Psalm 91 is? "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely you shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. It shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall look, see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over you, keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion, the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." That's Psalm 91. That's a mouthful. But man, that's like protecting you from everything and anything, isn't it? And you know, the enemy tried to even use scripture against the Lord. You know, doesn't the scripture say the angels will do this? Da, 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 da. The enemy, he knows the word, but he twists it. And he is after that seed that's planted. So let's get back to our story. So the minister, he's hearing this woman, and he's trying, he wants to help. He doesn't have the answer to her question, because she's saying, "Why would God let this happen?" And then he heard the Holy Spirit ask him to do something. The Holy Spirit told him to ask her why she had been where she was that day. And this is her answer. "Well, I was just running some errands in that part of town, although I did have a check in my spirit about going there that day." And there it is. But bam. Her confession didn't work, because it was based on, this is what the Bible would call, feigned faith. And let me explain that. It's presumption. It's where people, kind of like back in the day, it was just name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and just, blah, 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 I can just do this. And we're going to get a little deeper today, so I want to show you something that could be stopping some of your answers. And if you fix it, good things are happening. So the idea that we can ignore what the Word of God tells you and just confess scriptures over yourself with a wrong mindset doesn't bring good results, does it? Because anybody can pick up the Bible and just say, there's people that know the Bible much better than I do, but it's, do they believe it? Is it placed in their life? She's standing on scripture, but she's ignoring what the Rhema word God gave to her. Do you know what Rhema is? Rhema is like when God speaks to your spirit. You and your spirit and God's spirit, when you get born again, are connected. And He communicates with you. Now, this is not, I don't want you to get all freaky deaky on me.
Oh, Brett, he's off on the deep end.
I'm just telling you, that's how God, He gives you words of knowledge or those things, the Spirit of God that resides in you. He was telling her, don't go over that way. And she did anyway. It looks like faith, it sounds like faith, because she's speaking Psalm 91, but it didn't come to pass. Why? Because she was out of alignment. God's word is always true. But He's going, what if He tells you something, never against His word, but like He was telling her, don't go over there. And she's like, eh. He is giving her a word for right there. Just listen to me. Have your moms or dads ever told you when you were little, don't do that? And you said, why? Of course, mine would say, because I said so. But, but they were trying to tell you something. And there's been so many times where people in the body of Christ, we have confessed things and they never came to pass because we're kind of like the cowardly lion. I do. And we try to say all the right things. And I'm not saying the right things is wrong, but I'm saying believing and listening. Psalm 91 is still true. And that protection would have happened if she'd have listened and not went there. Are you with me? Because when we claim things and we do it over and 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 over again, and it doesn't happen, it hurts your faith. It kind of messes with your expecting. I've seen this story before. I feel like I'm Fred Flintstone going past that same window and Dino's chasing me. It'll affect how you feel. It'll make you feel bitter or alone or just not as important as you really are. But I'm going to give you some things today that's going to help you change, because it helps me. If you're ready that every confession, if you're going to believe what you're saying, that will come to pass and you believe it, then you need to pay attention. I'm going to give you three things today. And you may not be seeing something because maybe one of these things could be something you're dealing with. If it's not, it might just be a timing thing. But what if it's one of these? Just check it out, okay? I don't want you to stay out of alignment. I like being in alignment. Here's our first thought. You need to listen more with your ears. But even more than listen with your ears, you need to listen with your heart. So, yes, God is going to speak to you and you need to hear him, but I'm not talking about the audible sounds bouncing off your earwaves. I'm talking about the inside of you, your heart. You can listen with your ears, but I've talked to my kids. They've told me stuff. They know right when to ask you stuff. If you're a dude and you're watching the game and they're coming up, Dad, is it okay? Is it okay if I just move your car? Is it okay? Oh, sure, go ahead. That's great. You're not even paying attention. Or my wife will say, we need to do this, or I'd like you to do that. Yeah, okay. But, I mean, do we really hear her besides just with our ears? What about our heart? Because what you speak, the Bible says, you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. You see, you can't override that. You can say it all day long, but if you don't believe it, there's an issue. You're out of alignment. You need that word rooted in your faith. You need that inside you, so that's part of what you think and who you are. Where does faith come from? People ask me that. Brett, where does faith come from? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by hearing. Again, not just what you hear bouncing off the ears, just from reading the Bible. Jesus said it in Matthew 11:15 when he said, he who has ears, let him hear. So what's Jesus talking about? Most everybody has ears. He's talking about the condition of your heart. Are you listening to what he's saying? In the spirit realm, you hear with your heart. In the natural realm, you hear with your ears. Did you catch that? You're listening with your heart. The condition of your heart affects the way that you hear. The condition of your heart affects the way that you hear. If you're bitter and you're holding unforgiveness and you're just mad at God or whoever because you've been mistreated, God's not mistreating you, but say a person did or whatever, I'm not saying that's bad, good, I'm not saying it's good, that's bad, so I'm not minimizing that. But what I am saying is if you hold on to that, it will affect your hearing because you'll become hard-hearted. Bitter towards whether that person or even others because you just are too protective. I don't want to be hurt anymore. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Don't, no. I don't trust anyone anymore. If you don't listen with your heart, you're going to miss what God has to say to you, because he's connected with you. The devil will reach you at your natural sense, your five senses. That's how he's going to get. He's going to go for your ears and go for what. You don't see it, do you, Brett? You don't see it. That's why it's not coming. He will lie to you. He'll tell you anything he can to get you off track. But God's going to talk to your heart. Remember Jesus with Jairus? You remember that? Jairus says, you got to come. You got to come because my daughter's dying. I need you to come. And Jesus, he agrees and says, okay, I'll go. And on the way there, remember the woman with the issue of blood touched him and she got healed. Who touched me and all of that? And then somebody stops and says, don't bother him anymore. Your daughter has died. I mean, can you imagine? I can't even imagine being the dad. What? I failed? What? Maybe I didn't get here fast enough. That woman stopped me. I mean, what's going through his mind? And Jesus stops him and says, remember what we said? I said I'm coming. Only believe. My friends, we have to start listening more than with just our ears, because the enemy will mess with you there. But you have to listen in a deeper level, because you are at a deeper level. If you're a child of God, you can do things that the enemy cannot touch. Some of us are just like, I don't even think there's a possibility. Yeah. If I heard it, I'd probably get it wrong. You have those people? They're so fun because they're negative all the time. Gloom, despair, agony on me, deep, dark, depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, have no luck at all. You got to start shedding some of that stuff. You can't have pride. If you think I could never get it wrong, or I could never miss it, or you're not telling me what to do. You're all like, I don't know anything about those things. You're going to have trouble hearing God, whether it be through the word, or what if God sends somebody else to tell you something that there's no way they could have known had God not communicated with their heart, their spirit. If your heart is unwilling, you have a deaf spiritual ear. Then your confession isn't led by the Spirit, it's led by your flesh. Because you're just going to start saying carnal things. But if you're willing, Lord, show me. All it takes is one idea, one concept from God could change your life. But that's only the beginning. His anointing, just to hear that rhema word with your heart, then line up your confessions with that. We all need alignment at some point. The rhema, again, is a spoken utterance by the Holy Spirit directly to you regarding a scripture or the situation that you're in. What do I do? Here it is. And he tells you what to do. Maybe he says, don't do anything. Let me do it. Maybe he says, do this, so that. Whatever he tells you, you just do it. I mean, I'm trying to make this as easy as I can, because this just blows me away. Do you remember Jesus with his mother? They're at the wedding. And he's, now, what has his mom seen up to now? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Like, has she seen, I mean, did he just go, you know, snap, it becomes a game. And the bed's made, or, I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, it's not, I don't see it in the word. But I mean, but she knows how he got there. And they run out of wine, and she tells these guys, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And he looks at her, and he says, woman, here's my first point. I know that's Jesus, because I don't call my mother woman, because that's grounds for, uh-oh, my party is over. She told me to do something. Woman, My dad'd be like, there's your bag, see ya. No. He said, my time hasn't come yet. And the jugs they filled, they held like, I mean, like a lot. Like, I don't even know. I'm probably wrong. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I want to say like gallons and gallons, many, many gallons of each jug, you know, or pots that they filled. And he turned them all into wine. What if the guys would have said, not doing it? But they believed somebody. They believed Mary. She must have had a rep of some kind. Or they believed Jesus. They've been around him enough to go, okay. So they take care of it. That rhema word, what's God telling you to do? Don't go that way, go this way. Take care of their meal today. Pray for so-and-so today. I mean, God could give you something like that. That's amazing. When you get into a relationship with God and that's what he wants, it's amazing. He's woke me up in the middle of the night, heard him audibly, and told me to go and pray. And I went and prayed and didn't even know what I was praying for. I just felt to pray for this family, so I prayed for this family. And then found out later the next day at church that the family was in a car wreck at the exact time he sent me to pray. And they were all spared. That's not because I'm all that in a bag of chips. It's because God is all that in a bag of chips. Because he's saying, listen, you are my servant. Pray. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Faith doesn't come by just reading your Bible, or it really doesn't come by reading your Bible. You need that word in you, but it comes by hearing. You could hear him while you're reading your Bible. I mean, he could speak to your spirit. But that's why I tell you when you read those scriptures to say them out loud. Why? So you can hear them. On my phone, I have a list of declarations I say every day. And they're all scripture. And I put my kids' names in there. I put Kim and my name in there. Why? I want to hear that word. I want to hear it because it is planting inside me. You speak the word out loud, you need to hear yourself saying the word of God. And let me just say this. God is omniscient. You know what that means? It means he knows everything. Who do you think made mothers know all kinds of stuff? You don't even have to tell your mom. You're like, yep, you're lying. I can see that. Yep, mm-hmm. But God is omniscient. The devil is not. So if you don't say it, if you just read it, and you start going, okay, I'm just going to read this. All right, enemy. He didn't know what you're doing. Besides giving him entertainment. Say the word. Believe what the word says. 10:14 of Romans. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? How then shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How can you believe if you haven't heard? That's how faith comes. You hear the word of God and you see it respond. You see the fruit from it. If you haven't heard, you won't believe it. And you probably can't believe because faith comes by hearing. There's no believing without hearing, and there's no faith without believing. They have to go together. The verse I just read says, how should they hear without a preacher? It doesn't say, how will they hear without a Bible? You need the Bible. Don't get me wrong. But God does something to somebody that is preaching his word. That anointing on his word, the Holy Spirit, you may hear something different than somebody else. And it becomes a rhema to them or a revelation to them. They're like, that's the answer. That's the answer. My wife will have things happen to her. She'll be listening to a podcast and the preacher will say something. And then she'll be like, that is the second time I heard it today. And she'll go to somewhere else and then somebody comes up and says, you know, I just love the Lord and here's this scripture. Boom, boom, boom. She'd be like, that is the third time I've heard that today. Because sometimes, you know, there is scripture that talks about hearing it once and twice and three times. I get that. But you got to understand, I love what I do because I love the fact that God can use me, and I don't know how he does. I don't really, sometimes I don't even know why he does. But it is about saying, okay, how do you want me to say this to him? And I don't have to say it like another minister. I just have to say it like me, I guess, as best as I can to how he wants it said, with my personality. And that's kind of scary. But you need that unction, that preaching, that anointing that will pull things out that you couldn't see before. God created it that way. That's why preachers are necessary. And you're all of you are ministers, not just because I'm standing up here. Wherever you work, wherever you live, you're ministering right then, right there. You are preachers of the gospel. That anointing causes you to see and hear. There are times that you could be doing something and God will say, I need you to go over there and I need you to talk to your neighbor. I need you to do this. I mean, he's told me things that I'm like, I don't want to do that. Number two, placement matters. So many times in today's society with all the social media, we run to the phone, literally, instead of the throne. Let's just see what Facebook thinks of this. Or how about this? Now you can ask, if you don't know, let's ask Alexa. Let's ask Google. Let's ask, hey Siri, what time is it?
It's 11:18 a.m.
We have so many devices, and we don't even have to think. Siri, what's the weather going to be like today, next week, whatever? Man, when I was a kid, I didn't know what the weather was going to be like. I just knew there was a guy on TV with a real loud jacket named Jimmy Crum. I don't even know if he did the weather. He was a sports guy, I think. But, you know, we depend on every device that we have. And people will just do this. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. They will not take the Bible as truth. But if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. I want to tell them, well, you can get the Bible on the internet. Placement. Did you seek God first? Did you ask him, God, what am I to do? Or do we wait till if everything else fails, I guess I'll go to God. He's my last resort. Where does he stand in your life? Where is his allegiance with you? John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. It's okay to be believing for answers and things that you need and want. I believe that's okay. God wants to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory. I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for that. It sounds very spiritual and faith-filled, and you can believe him for things. Please don't misunderstand me. But the question is, what are you basing it on? God is not Santa Claus. We're not trying to do that. We're not trying to just say, okay, this is how God is just this and he's just that. No, he wants to meet your needs. What are you basing it on? What word are you basing it on? What scripture? And just picking out scripture, I'll tell people if you have a concordance, that's in the back of your Bible, and it's kind of like a dictionary, and it has different things in there, and you can look up all these different scriptures. That doesn't mean if you quote them, all of that will automatically come to pass. Which one, when you look at those, you're going to have to take some time? Which one jumps out at you in your spirit? Which one inside makes you go, wow, that one? Then I'd write that one down. Are the others good? Absolutely good. But they may not be the rhema word you're looking for, and God just showed you what it was. So you have to use that word and start believing and confessing. It needs to be a relationship, not religion. I can ask God, you know, let me just say this. I can ask him for specific items that really aren't necessarily spelled out in his word. Like when I go deer hunting, I'll ask him for specifically what kind of deer that I'm hunting for, and that's the deer that I get. It doesn't have in the scripture anywhere where thou shalt ask the Lord thy God for an 8-point buck and thou shalt get thy buck. That's not in there, but there are scripture in there, and I've taught it before, and I'll teach you again, where it's part of the anything that I could be sowing and believing for. I get that. But again, what's your heart? If your heart is just greedy, it's not. He knows your heart. If you become more selective, you'll become more effective. If you start saying, okay, God, show me specifically what you're trying to tell me. You need to listen to what I'm saying, because instead of taking a shotgun, just going ba-boom and getting a pattern like this, God's saying, what if I give you a rifle? And instead of taking all these shots, trying to shoot the red star out, remember doing that at Popcorn Festival or whatever, and then they peel back, oh, here's a little bit of red. Sorry. The gun still got stuff in it. Turn around. I'm sorry. But they, you know, he can zero you right in on, here, use this, and get results. Jesus did this. He said, I only say what my Father says. Man, I want to be more like Jesus. If you've seen me, you've seen my Father. What I do, he does. I just do what he does. I just do what he tells me. I just say what he tells me to say. You see, when you hear from God and you allow God to live inside you where he has a relationship, those living words radiate then. It becomes something more than just Charlie Brown's teacher, blah, 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 blah. It's something that's just like, ooh, that's good. And you know you're on to something. You know you have an answer. It might not have shown up yet, but it's on its way because you believed you received when you prayed because you got a rhema word from God. I've looked in this Bible. I didn't see forerunner in here except for John the Baptist went before Jesus. Hearing him all the time and his living words living in you is supposed to motivate us. If we say what he says and tells us to say, he'll back that. Do you know that that's what, when you're fully persuaded, that means what you declare because God told you to, heaven backs it up. That's huge. He's not obligated to back it up if you don't believe it. And if it's not in his will, he doesn't have to do that. He can give you an idea or concept, could change everything. But he is obligated to do his word. He always stays in his word. Matter of fact, the Bible says his word doesn't come back void. He won't go out of line with it. Everything has to be legally done. I've talked to people and said, I don't understand. God doesn't want to bless me. I mean, I'm making all this money, da-da-da-da-da. And then it just the faucet cut off, and they won't pay me anymore. Why? Because then I have to record it. I have to report it. Why aren't you reporting it? Well, because if I report it, I have to pay taxes. God's not going to do anything illegal. Just need to know that. He's not going to bless efforts if they're not legal. Our third thought this morning. Maybe you just aren't doing what he said. Numbers 14:41. Moses said, now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Remember the woman that got mugged? She was told not to go to that area. God instructed her not to go. And if you aren't obeying what he's saying, your confessions are just coming out of your mouth and falling on the ground. Words are critical for your receiving, but again, obedience. What if we say something like in church, and this has happened, I'm guilty of it, so take it easy. I'm not guilty of it now, but I'm guilty of it before. We start out in church and we say the right things. Like after a message, we're like, yes, I'm turning the ship. And we get out in the car because, you know, the real world starts when you leave here. Because it's easy in here because we're all talking about the same thing. Or, well, I'm talking, you're listening. You know what I'm saying. We get out there, then Ohio Edison, you get the bill and you're like, ah. Oh. And then we say something that goes against everything that we said in here. Sometimes we're our worst enemy. We say one thing when we're around certain people, and we say something else when we're around others or when we're by ourselves. It's important that if you want to see fruit, that you keep your eye and your mind in the game, in the battle. Because the enemy is after the word, and you have to confess that word and believe it. I was just telling one of my dear, if you don't know this guy, he's one of our drummers. Amazing. He's back there, Jay. Jay's back in the back. If you haven't met Jay, you need to go back and meet. You will never meet a nicer guy than Jay Ray. That man is, out of everybody I've met in my life, I told him, I said, you are in the top five people ever. He just is the anyway, he didn't expect me to say that, but what I was telling him is that whole mindset, the confession and believing and seeing it happen and staying on course, and the enemy wants to just take you off of that, and you have to, that's the fight, and that's why Jesus, he's trying to help us when he says, and this could be a rhema word for somebody. He says, remember when the enemy attacked him? He said, it is written. Now, he didn't pull out, let me get my notebook out here. You can do that. But when you are believing God for something and you haven't seen it yet and you're going to turn the course of your ship to maybe check these things to keep yourself in a line, I would not be shy about telling the enemy, look, it is written. On May, let's say 18th, right? 19th, okay. Day after. On May the 19th, I believed this, and this is what the Lord gave me. Maybe you sowed a seed. I don't know what the Lord's telling you to do, whatever. But when the enemy comes to try to get you off that mark, you can say, it's written. It's written. I'm not going off that mark. Do you understand what a predetermined mind is? When you have predetermined your mindset on the things of God, you're not going to be moved. He can, whatever. Your decision has already been made. Do you get that? It's like being on a diet and you're going to go to a fancy party and you know it's going to be great and there's going to be all kinds of desserts because Kim Milgate's probably cooking there. And so, but you're trying to lose weight and so you're like, but maybe she'll do something keto for her brother. But so anyways, you predetermine before you get there, like what you're going to have or how much or what you're going to, because if you don't, have you ever had some of what she makes? You'll be like, more pies. I mean, there's just, so make up your mind and tell the enemy, I'm not doing this. I'm done being your tennis match. I'm done being your ping pong game. It is written. It is written, and say it out loud. What is written? What are you standing on? What word are you saying? I confess with my mouth. I believe with my heart. I have heard God, and I'm not going to go back. It is written. Get away from me. And tell him, and just do something completely that God wants you to do. That's totally what you're supposed to be doing. Man. The Bible says if you resist him, he will flee. Don't go home and change your confession and then wonder why things aren't working. Let's look at the Israelites were classic at this. God says, don't save the manna. They saved it. God said, don't gather on the seventh day. They did. God called him stubborn and stiff-necked. And maybe that's us sometimes. We're, you know, God will tell us to do something. And if you don't do the small things, well, that's not a big deal. Maybe it is, because if you won't do the small ones, you probably aren't going to do the big one. But if you obey in the little things, his trust, you'll increase your trust even in yourself. Speak things. If you say you're going to be someplace on time, be on time. If you can't be there on time, call somebody. I'm running behind and I so apologize. Be a person of integrity, because listen, what you say, if you're like, it doesn't matter. You want your kids to do that? You want to live that way? Because really, that's what you're getting. But if you would know that, hey, I keep my word. If I said it, that settles it. Because I want to do everything I can to keep that word. Then you become one of those God people that God says, I can trust him. Because he keeps even the little things. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, this is a test. Israel tried that. God told him to go possess the land he had given them, and they said, no. Uh-uh. Numbers 14:25, he tells them to go into the wilderness. And then they said, you know, I think we'll go into the promised land now. I kind of like that idea, because that sounds a little better than the wilderness. So should they go or could they go? Now listen, isn't that like, I'll give you a quick story here. Zachy, my oldest son. Kim is an amazing cook, just like her mama. And she had made some kind of cookies. And Zach loved them. And he was 6, maybe. I don't know. Maybe Arrow's age, 4 or 5. I don't know. But I said, you can't have no more cookies. Do you understand? Yes, Daddy. No more cookies. No more cookies. I leave the room. I come back. He is on the counter with his hand in the cookie jar. Zachary Joseph, I told you no more cookies. He goes, I was getting you one. I mean, I might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I didn't even fall for that one. So what I'm trying to tell you is you need to have a believing heart, not a heart that's been made to, not a heart that just got caught, but you need to have one that just is submitted to the Lord. Father, I love you. Think about Jesus. I really don't want to go to the cross. If you got a better way, I like that. But if you don't, I'll go. We need to be like him. You see, Israel could have confessed, I can do all things like Christ, although at that point Christ hadn't come yet, but I'm just using that scripture. Because all things are possible to him that believes. But they're out of alignment with his word, because God had already said, I need you to do this, and they said, no. It's just rebellion. And that's where we can get into trouble. What if God's told you to do something and you do all of these other things, but you're not doing this? I've been there. I need you to give this amount, because I'm like, I don't want to. Have you ever told you? Well, he just did that with me not long ago. I'm really glad I did now, because I have the Forerunner out there. But before, I was just like, I need you to give your car away. I don't want to give my car away. Because you know what that means? These boots are made for walking. And that's just what they'll do. I mean, for 2 months, I borrowed Maddie's car, Pastor Kim's car, anybody give me a lift. I mean, I'm just like, But what if we are obedient and we expect? Sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest, as long as the earth remains. That obedience is a big deal. God has to be placement. He has to be number one, and we have to be obedient. if we are just saying, and I've had people do this, I'll do everything God says to me, but I won't do this. And I appreciate your honesty, but really, then he's not really Lord to you. Because if he's Lord to you, you'll do whatever he says. He needs to be Lord of all. Because if he's not, he's really not to you Lord at all. So we have to start saying, all right, God, I want to hear with my heart. I want to put you first. And am I doing everything you've told me to do? Those three things, you ask yourself, I can't tell you that. Oh, he didn't. He told me to do this, and I still need to do it. I still get prompted, and I just push it out of the back of my mind. Maybe it's just call somebody, tell them you're sorry. Maybe it's just call somebody and pray with them. Maybe it's to volunteer for something. Maybe it's to sow something. I don't know what it is. Maybe there's nothing. Maybe you're completely lined up, and that's fine. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying for me, I know I found myself out of alignment at different times. But I want better than 50-50, don't you? I mean, I'm like, hey, I would like to know that if I'm saying something, I'm believing it, I'm confessing it, I'm hearing with my heart, Lord, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'll do that. Then I know it's coming to pass. I expect. I don't expect anything less than that. Because that's what fully persuaded is. If he tells me something, let's just be fully persuaded. If God said it, let's just believe it. That settles it. Because you know it's true whether you believe it or not. It's still true. There's laws that are in this natural world. I don't believe in gravity. Watch. It's still going to be true because I can't change a law. Hebrews says God doesn't change. His laws are the same. And you know how God gets things done? He gets things done through his kids. You know how the enemy gets things done? Through his. So for me, I got to stay aligned. I got to keep my alignment there. And so that's something that you constantly check. Because if you ask God, now, and I'm finishing. You guys can put on a little bit of music here. So you can ask God, if he did something one way one time, I don't automatically assume that's the same way he's going to do it again. I have to constantly lean on him and listen with my heart. God, do you want me to do that? Remember David? Shall I go this way? No, this time I want you to do this. And he gave him a whole nother plan. Will I recover it? You'll recover it all. But you got to listen. Sometimes I've missed the ship because I just didn't listen. I listened to part of it, got what I thought was my answer, but I never stuck around to hear the whole conversation. And it didn't all come to pass. And I had trouble with it. You got to put him first. So no matter what he says is first. Jesus, Dad said it, I do it, period. Because placement is everything for that. But for me to get that placement, I got to be willing to listen. What are you telling me, Lord? Is there things out there that are still like, man, I've been praying for this for years? Well, ask the Holy Spirit. Put the placement there. God can show you where the gap is. Whether it's something that you need or just maybe a relationship or I don't know. But just check your alignment. Would you bow your head, close your eyes, please?